All right, so today we're diving into Psalm 51, one of the most emotionally raw and powerful pieces of writing in the Bible.
Absolutely.
We've got this fascinating lecture from Dr. Bruce Waltke.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Waltke's work is incredible.
He's like one of the top Old Testament scholars out there, and I'm really excited to unpack his insights with you on this one.
Me too. It's a great pick.
So Psalm 51, it's not just some abstract prayer.
No, not at all.
It's rooted in a real-life drama.
Right.
A royal scandal.
Yeah, a scandal that would probably still make headlines today.
Definitely. It's the story of King David.
David and Bathsheba.
The same David who took down Goliath.
Yep, that's the one.
But here he is caught in this web of adultery and murder and this desperate cover-up.
Yeah, talk about a fall from grace.
Right, before we even get to the words of the psalm itself,
right.
Just knowing that backstory.
It really sets the stage.
Oh, absolutely.
Dr. Waltke really emphasizes the weight of David's actions.
Yeah.
You know, this wasn't just a moment of weakness.
Right. It wasn't just a lapse in judgment.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This was calculated.
Yeah.
This was cold-blooded.
He had Uriah killed.
Yeah, Uriah.
Whole loyal soldier in his own army.
And to cover up the affair with Bathsheba.
Bathsheba, Uriah's wife.
It's really a stark reminder that even people we consider heroes.
Yeah.
Are capable of great darkness.
For sure. And Dr. Waltke points out something that I hadn't really considered before.
Interesting.
Uriah wasn't just any soldier.
Right.
He was one of David's top 30 warriors.
Oh, wow.
And he was a Hittite.
Oh, that's significant.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that.
Well, that means that Uriah was a foreigner.
Okay.
He had converted to the Israelite faith.
He pledged allegiance to David.
Exactly. So David's betrayal.
It cuts even deeper.
Yeah.
He's not just breaking God's law.
Right.
He's violating the trust of someone who chose to become part of his people.
And fight alongside him.
Wow. I hadn't thought about it that way.
It's another layer to this whole thing.
It adds complexity to David's sin.
For sure. It's not just a personal failing. It's got these political and social ramifications.
Exactly. And to understand the full impact.
Yeah.
We need to remember the social context of ancient Israel.
Right.
Both adultery and murder carried the death penalty.
Wow. So David as king.
He was supposed to uphold the law.
But he's the one breaking it.
Flagrantly.
So he's not just putting his own soul at risk.
Right.
He's jeopardizing his entire kingdom.
That's intense.
Talk about pressure.
Right.
No wonder Psalm 51 is so raw.
So emotional.
It's really like we're looking into the soul of someone wrestling with the consequences of their actions.
Yeah.
Desperate for forgiveness.
Yeah.
And afraid of judgment.
And that's where the real power of this psalm lies.
Okay.
It goes beyond the historical drama.
Mm-hmm.
It explores this universal human experience of sin.
Guilt.
And this longing for redemption.
Yeah.
It's incredible how Psalm 51 unfolds, you know, knowing what we now know about everything that happened.
Yeah.
It's not just some random emotional outburst.
Right.
It's very deliberately structured.
Oh.
It's like this journey of repentance.
You're right. Dr. Waltke breaks it down beautifully in his lecture.
Yeah.
It goes from this desperate plea for mercy to like profound self-reflection.
Yeah.
And then ultimately this glimmer of hope for restoration.
Like we're watching David's internal struggle play out.
In real time.
Yeah. And the language is just as deliberate as the structure.
Okay.
For example, he doesn't just use one word for sin.
Right.
He uses three: transgression, iniquity, and sin.
Huh. Interesting. So it's like he's dissecting his own sin.
Exactly.
Trying to really grapple with what he's doing.
Like he's trying to understand the depth of it.
Okay. What's the difference between those three words again?
Well, Dr. Waltke explains that transgression,
yeah,
it implies rebellion against God's law.
Okay.
Like when he orchestrated Uriah's murder.
Right.
Iniquity suggests this deliberate twisting of what's right.
Okay, so like the whole scheme to cover up the adultery.
Exactly, and then sin.
Yeah.
That's the most general term. It acknowledges that he missed the mark.
He missed the mark of God's will for his life.
Precisely.
Wow, that is powerful.
Yeah.
So by using all three,
he's holding himself accountable.
Yeah, on every level.
He's not making excuses. He's not downplaying anything.
It's brutal honesty.
It is. And it's in that honesty,
yeah,
that we start to see this glimmer of hope.
Okay.
Because despite his guilt,
yeah,
David still believes in God's mercy.
Okay.
He even quotes Exodus 34:6.
Oh, wow.
Reminding God of his own attributes.
Okay.
Mercy, love, compassion, faithfulness.
It's like he's saying, I know I messed up big time, but
yeah,
but you are merciful. You are love.
Exactly.
He's clinging to God's character, yeah, as his only hope.
That's it. It's brilliant. It highlights this tension between David's unworthiness
yeah.
and God's boundless capacity for forgiveness.
Okay.
And this is where we encounter some of the most evocative imagery in the psalm.
Okay.
David asked to be cleansed with hyssop.
Hyssop. What is hyssop? Why is that significant?
Hyssop was a plant used in ancient Israel for ritual purification.
Okay.
It was used after contact with death or disease.
Anything considered ritually unclean.
Right.
So he's saying, my sin is like a disease. It's contaminated me. I need to be made clean again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it gets even more intense.
Okay.
He begs God to hide your face from my sins.
Okay, this isn't about physically hiding.
No, it's a metaphor.
Okay, for the separation that sin creates between humanity and God.
Yeah, he understands that God in his holiness
yeah.
cannot look upon sin.
It's like when you disappoint someone you love
yeah.
and you can just feel their disappointment, even if they don't say anything.
Exactly. It creates this distance.
Yeah, David's feeling that distance from God.
Yeah.
And he knows it's his own fault.
Exactly. And yet, yeah. even in that despair, he doesn't give up hope.
Okay.
He doesn't just ask for forgiveness.
Right.
He pleads for a complete transformation.
A complete transformation.
He says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me.
He wants more than just a clean slate.
Yeah. He wants a changed heart.
A new beginning.
Exactly.
So David's asking for this like total inner transformation, right? A pure heart and a steadfast spirit.
Yeah. He doesn't just want to be forgiven.
Right. It's about becoming a different person.
Exactly.
But Dr. Welke points out something interesting here.
Oh, what's that?
Even though David is forgiven,
mm-hmm.
there are still consequences for his actions.
Yeah. That's a really important point.
Psalm 51 kind of highlights this tension.
Between forgiveness and consequences.
Exactly. Yeah. It reminds us that grace doesn't just wipe away the past.
Right. And it doesn't erase the need for justice.
We see this play out in David's life.
Mm-hmm.
His baby with Bathsheba dies.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a tragic consequence of his sin.
It is a reminder that actions have repercussions.
Even when we're forgiven.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Right? It raises some really difficult questions.
Yeah. Like, how do we reconcile God's forgiveness
mm-hmm.
with the very real pain and suffering that sin causes?
Yeah. If someone is truly repentant and receives forgiveness,
do they still need to face consequences?
That's something people have wrestled with for centuries.
It's a tough one. And what's interesting is that David's plea in Psalm 51.
Yeah.
It's not just about his own personal forgiveness. No. It's also about the restoration of Israel.
The whole nation.
Yeah. He recognizes that his sin has had this ripple effect.
It's damaged the community he was supposed to lead.
So it's not just about making things right with God.
It's also about repairing the damage he's caused to others.
And that makes me think about how this applies today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in our world, a lot of wrongs happen online.
Oh, yeah.
Where the impact is so widespread.
Like spreading misinformation.
Exactly. What would genuine repentance and restitution even look like in those situations?
That's a great question. It really gets to the heart of accountability and responsibility.
A digital age.
Dr. Walcully touches on this in his lecture.
Does he?
Yeah. He brings up the case of Carla Faye Tucker.
Oh, Carla Faye Tucker. I remember that case.
Convicted murderer.
Right. But she underwent this profound transformation in prison.
She became a devout Christian.
Her case sparked a lot of debate about genuine repentance.
And whether someone who committed such a horrific crime
could truly be forgiven by God.
Yeah.
It's interesting that he connects Carla Faye Tucker and King David.
Yeah. They both committed terrible acts.
But they both expressed deep remorse.
And they both sought forgiveness.
It really makes you think about our understanding of justice and mercy.
It challenges us, doesn't it?
Absolutely. So Psalm 51.
Yeah.
It doesn't give us easy answers.
No. But it gives us a framework.
For navigating these complexities.
It really does.
Yeah.
And what strikes me is the honesty in David's plea.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that we don't have to pretend to be perfect.
To come before God.
We can admit our failures.
Our need for forgiveness.
And open ourselves to the transformative power of his grace.
That's a powerful thought. If even a king,
yeah.
someone who was supposed to be the epitome of righteousness,
right.
could find mercy after such horrific acts.
It's a message of hope.
What does that say about the potential for redemption in our own lives?
Exactly. It's a timeless message.
And it leaves us with some important questions to ponder.
Yeah. What about you? What really resonated with you?
Well, I keep coming back to that idea of hyssop.
Oh, yeah.
What do we need to be cleansed with today?
What pure hearts might God be waiting to create within us?
If we just have the courage to ask.
Powerful stuff.
Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into Psalm 51.
It's been a pleasure.
Dr. Waelke's insights have been so illuminating.
He's a brilliant scholar.
This has been a truly thought-provoking journey.
I agree.
And we would love to hear your thoughts.
Yeah. What resonated with you?
Share your reflections in the comments.
We love hearing from you.
Until next time, keep exploring, keep seeking, and keep diving deep.